السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Yes, welcome to Learning Curve on Radio Islam International. And inshallah, we're going to be keeping you company during weekdays, 3 to 4 p.m. inshallah, during the lockdown period. The name is Noman Panjbaya and my honorable co-host, Hafiz Hanzala Hafiji. Hafiz, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, Noman. I don't think it can be any better knowing that, alhamdulillah, we're going to be on this program called the Learning Curve. And inshallah, we're going to be keeping our listeners, you know, updated and keeping them aware of what's happening in terms of everything relating to education, school, and different careers as well as subjects.
Yes, definitely, Hafiz Abe. And yeah, time for some serious talk, understanding that if the lockdown wasn't in place, schools were supposed to be starting tomorrow, you know, so that was the end of the first, what we would say, first term holidays. So inshallah, we're going to be keeping you company during the lockdown period, and every day inshallah, we're going to be having talks by experts, subject experts. So we won't be actually having the actual tuition going on air. So for example, like the questions, answers, the different maths questions or physics equations, we won't be having things of that sort, but rather we'll be speaking to subject experts. So for example, today we have a maths expert coming on, and inshallah they're going to be telling us more about the subject maths and the different perspectives we have, the different understandings we have. And of course, we have a different segment as well, Hafiz Hanzala, coming up later.
Definitely, you know, just to make our listeners aware, inshallah, every day we're going to be covering different subjects for you. And secondly, you know, if any listeners out there, any student wants to know more about content-related aspects, inshallah, they can contact us. We've got particular websites. We've got educational websites which will assist us in terms of getting past papers, videos, assisting you of how to solve different problems in a particular subject. But when we're talking about, you know, the learning curve, we're going to be having two important segments, breaking it down into your career guidance as well as your subject related. And both of this will be covered by experts who are, you know, very well prepared and can assist us and guide our listeners out there.
Okay, so inshallah, in the next few minutes, we'll be joined by Brother Muhammad Kota, and he's from the KWA Institute, South Africa, and we're going to be speaking about mathematics. Yes, what we would say, sometimes maths is just the best for some individuals, and when it comes to some individuals, they would say, you know what, maths is not for me. Inshallah, maybe today we will change your perspective. So Brother Muhammad Kota, a mathematics expert, is going to be joining us in a minute or so. We're going to go for a quick break, inshallah, and when we come back, we have him with us. So yes, the Learning Curve on Radio Islam International. So Brother Mr. Kota is the founder and director of the KWA Institute in South Africa. Now, the institute was founded in 2003 and has assisted government, schools and learners across South Africa since inception with tremendous improvement in mathematics and science. And KWA is currently doing online workshops as well as seminars across South Africa. And inshallah, if there is any of our listeners that are interested in getting in touch with them, then you can send us a WhatsApp on 0727861548, and inshallah we'll get them in touch with you. Yeah, they will be providing you with the online workshops. Definitely you'll need it during this lockdown period. So yes, we've got Brother Muhammad Kota on the line. Brother Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And inshallah, we hope that you can just change the perspectives, the negative perceptions in this program.
Inshallah.
I mean, definitely, inshallah. With me, I have Hafiz Hanzala Hafiji, my co-host, inshallah, and we're going to be interacting with regards to maths and so forth. But before we go ahead, just one start of question would be, is that... you know, what are some of the major challenges that students have with regards to maths?
Right now, it's just process and procedure. So, obviously, mathematics is a fully engaged subject or field that needs to be explained. It needs to be shown. A learner needs to be shown how. Once a learner knows how, they can basically copy and paste the procedures in order to get or to achieve their desired results. So right down in the right now in the lockdown period, the challenge is now how do they get shown the best possible ways in order to activate?
Definitely. And you're saying that to show them how. Now I understand that, you know what, many people are looking for improvement in mathematics. So you know, of course, to improve, you need to know what the basic concepts are, what the basic of maths are. Where do they start from?
Look, from my engagement with parents and with learners who have just joined the Institute, is that we do a baseline assessment. And from the baseline assessment, we have found that 98% of all learners have problems not stemming from this year's content, but from previous year's knowledge. Sure. So at least a year or two behind. So what needs to happen is that there needs to be a catch-up program that these learners need to go on in order to be, you know, that the foundation and the fundamentals need to be concretized. Let's put it that way. And from there, we can actually build. Now, we've got a series of products as well at K-Way that can assist parents at home via DVDs that the parents can actually sit at home. So we've got some support material. I didn't come on air to market our products, but just to say what is available on the market. So whether they're going to YouTube, whether they're using Khan's Academy or all the, you know, tons of resources that the government or department is also offering, whether the teachers are offering support classes. But we've also got a series of products from grade 7 right up to grade 12 in mathematics and grade 11 and 12 physical science that parents and teachers can utilize at home in order to bolster their content or their subject matter.
Brother Muhammad, you know, we understand that inshallah with these different backup programs, it will assist the learners and it will improve when it comes to this subject. But also, we would like to know from you, how is it possible that students in particular can change their view and the negative perception or perspective they have on mathematics?
You see, I believe that it's in the way it's facilitated. So it depends on the facilitator. It depends on how much of motivation can the facilitator give to the learner to change that perception, making it fun, making it exciting, making the learner feel that they can do it. Show them shortcuts, show them hacks, show them different methodologies in doing the same laborious processes that are being, you know, punted all over via schools or via the digital platforms or whatever. If the facilitator is dynamic enough, and it all, again, depends on the human element, how much of love they have for the learner and how much of energy they drive into the subject matter. So, again, it boils down to the facilitator himself or herself.
And, Brother Muhammad, you know, sometimes as a student, putting ourselves in the student shoes, they would say, you know what, for example, my teacher doesn't know how to teach maths, or I don't understand. Right. How do you, how do you put all of that aside and say, you know what, I'm going to start now from the basics again? Is it a long process, or can it be done in a quick manner where that individual, for example, maybe the grade 8 educator didn't know the normal pedagogical or teaching methods? Now the child is, for example, in FET phase in grade 10, 11, and everything seems so complex. The child is doing maths because the parents are forcing them to do maths and they don't want to do it. What's the way forward for their child?
Look, what they need to do is we can connect with those facilitators if the facilitator requires some sort of change of strategy. Like I said, we've got support for facilitators. We've also got support for these learners. So if parents want to contact us, it has been done. It has been done where hundreds of cases we've had where learners were below the 40% mark, and it just takes a little bit, maybe about a week or two activation, for them to start loving it again. You see, the main thing is a child needs to be motivated to feel that he can do it.
Correct.
So if a child is now practicing on something that he's been struggling with all the time, and 90% of all learners, it is just their motivation. It is that their confidence has been broken. Now, obviously, with a low self-esteem in mathematics or science or any of the learning areas, like anything in life, the minute the learner is demotivated and their confidence levels are low, they're going to feel that they can't do it. So a little bit of activation, we always look at them as empty SIM cards. And downloading will only take place once they get activated. And you need some sort of immediate intervention where they can be activated. And once they get activated, and then it depends on the facilitator, and then downloading will take place at a tremendous speed, sometimes 5G or 6G. The minute they're all sitting on edge.
Brother Mohammed, I understand that, you know, motivating these children is the most important aspect. And early on, as you mentioned, you know, if we can find alternatives, way to address all the old methods or the boring ways of teaching mathematics, will definitely bring that change in this particular subject. You know, for our learners, it's so important that we create an atmosphere which is vibrant and makes it possible to enjoy the learning. I would like to know, and also for our listeners itself, how is it possible that students can make learning more exciting?
They've got to engage. And the main thing is, look, everybody is afraid of the digital space right now. But fortunately or unfortunately, this is what we call the New World Order. And the world that we knew it has ended. This is now the digital world. So we now need to take it to the next level. And our appeal to parents and to learners, don't be afraid of this digital transformation, because this is the way the new world is going to move forward. So engage with us or engage with your learning platforms. I just want to give, do I have about 30 seconds to a minute just to explain to...
Yep.
Jake, go ahead.
Okay, we had a scenario now. We've got an amazing agent in Pietermaritzburg, Mrs. Valley, and we've been engaged with them for over 3 years, where we've been going down to KZN and doing it in Pietermaritzburg at the Carter High School, where we brought in we used to do full-on contact workshops. Now, for the first time, due to this scenario that we are facing with, or the circumstance that we're in, we had about 50 to 60 learners who engaged in our program, thinking that it was going to go ahead last weekend on a full contact basis.
Sure.
Obviously, when this virus, this pandemic broke out and the lockdown then occurred, everybody was very afraid. So I would say 50% of them broke away from it and said, no, we're too afraid. We don't know what the digital space is all about. Mm-hmm. 50% of them took the chance to stay on it.
Sure.
And if you look at the feedback, we ran a workshop this last weekend where we had about between 20 and 30 learners in the Pietermaritzburg areas. They were mind blown. It was so simple. We've actually launched a new digital platform. We're the first in the world, alhamdulillah, with the Qudrat of Allah. Mm-hmm. And this just came through to us last week, sure, where we've engaged with a consortium from Australia, South Africa, Ireland, and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And we've put together an amazing platform. I know everybody's Zooming at the moment.
Gee.
Everybody's Zooming, but what's happening now is that Zoom is only giving a 40-minute time frame, and then it disconnects and then it reconnects. So there are certain technical glitches on that platform.
Gee.
But we've launched a full-on platform. At the moment, it's free.
Right.
It's free of charge for everybody to use with very, very low bandwidth. And it's got an interactive whiteboard. So basically what we've done is we've done a virtual classroom. We've taken the whiteboard that was used in classroom and then projected it onto their laptop screen. And full-on engagement. So we can see all the participants. Everybody can talk. We've had an amazing, amazing, amazing experience. And I think this is the way that the world is going to go.
Gee.
In fact, alhamdulillah, it was so successful that those who broke away this weekend, I think the word went out that those who engaged were having such an amazing experience. So those who broke away actually contacted the agent and said, please, can Mr. Kota come live again this weekend? We're willing to come back onto the platform.
Amazing.
So, like I'm saying, again, it's perception. Everybody, the reason I'm telling you this is because it's just perception. People are afraid of this digital space. But this is the way, I mean, you look at Udemy internationally. Everybody's doing online courses at the moment. They're getting certified online. Online, and you know what? The old school system. And this is what we've been saying all this time. And finally, I think it took a virus or it took this transformation for people to wake up and realize that old school system of taking your child 8 o'clock in the morning to school, dropping them off, the challenges that they're facing in the old mainstream system. Look, South Africa is a bit behind in terms of the digital space, in terms of Wi-Fi and connectivity. Mm. But this is where think tanks need to be put together. Sure. How do we provide this kind of material to everyone?
Gee, Brother Mohammed, and you know, we understand also that the more we engage with our learners, the more exciting the lesson becomes. But it also goes down to building a good rapport with our students. Do you also believe that a lesson should be fully interactive in terms of, you know, making sure that the learners also engage as well as the teachers? Or do you also notice, you know, the old traditional method where the teacher only teaches and there's hardly or very little level of interaction between the learners and the teacher?
In old school pedagogy, that's called chalk and talk or rote. Rote learning. That old school chalk and talk doesn't work anymore. Right? It's got to be fully engaged.
Definitely. I think we would
there has to be a certain component where chalk and talk has got to be done, where there's got to be that authoritarian. But it's got to be a very eclectic approach. So basically, you've got to take from each of the ideologies and utilize it within. There were times, I mean, you look at the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam propagated Islam, and he used every methodology he could find that came to his head. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to draw in the sand. He used to draw in the sky. He used to write. It used to be written. It used to be imaginary. Every tool that he... That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the best teacher in the world. And that is how Islam spread so rapidly. And people caught on to him because of the love he had for the deen, number one. And number two, the strategies that he utilized in order to get the mindset of the people right.
Definitely. Brother Muhammad Kota, we have a few minutes before our air break. So I'm just going to put one question out to you because understanding that after the break, we'll request you to maybe just give us some strategies of how we can study or learn maths, you know, like some basics where we can assist those that are having difficulty with maths, etc. But that will come after the break. Just one question coming through saying, Assalamu alaikum. Ask Brother Muhammad, why did they do away with the 110s and units version of maths? Now it breaks down, now the breakdown method is more complicated.
Okay, it's actually, should I answer that now?
Jay, you can go ahead with this one.
Okay. Look, it totally depends on the individual. Sure. If the individual feels that is the method in which to do it, and if you feel that is a way in which you can get the message across, there's no hard and fast rule that, you know what, you cannot use the 110s and units method. Mm. So there's different strategies. There's so many different... I mean, if you look at grade 11 and 12 inequalities, so I think the people who are quite conversant with the grade 11 and 12 syllabus, mathematics syllabus, there's a topic there called quadratic inequalities.
True.
And there's so many different ways in which they do it. Sometimes they use a number line. Sometimes they use a table method. And all those methods are so complicated. At KWay, we've devised such a simple solution to that where learners can now pick it up in under 10 seconds.
Sure.
Now you've got parents or you've got departments saying, no, but you cannot use this way. I mean, how many different ways are there to get to Cape Town? Some people can take the N1 going straight, or some people can take the garden route. It just depends on how much time you have to get to your destination.
Yes, correct. After all, you know, as long as the method is correct and the answer remains the same, then we can always find different ways to get to the final answer.
Exactly. There are millions of ways to get to an answer, but people are not willing to explore ways. And teachers are so hard and fast on their old system that they've been taught in the 1940s and 50s that they refuse to adapt. True. And the order of today in this 21st century is adapt or die. Change.
Change, yeah. Change is needed.
Embrace it. Embrace that change.
Sure. Definitely. Okay, so the time has just gone 26 minutes past the hour of 3. If you have any maths-related questions or you want to know how to study a specific segment or a specific topic or a specific part of content, then WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. After the break, inshallah, Brother Muhammad Kota will be explaining to us some strategies of how to study or learn maths, and inshallah, that will assist us in a more productive way, in a more positive way, understanding that we are focusing more on the FET from grade 10 up until grade 12. But I do know, and I can tell you, that Brother Muhammad Kota will show us a way which will assist us with maths throughout the grades, inshallah. Sure. So stay tuned to the Learning Curve. Learning Curve on Radio Islam International for this lockdown period. We're joined by Brother Muhammad Kota, and alhamdulillah, what a positive segment we had just before the break. Brother Muhammad, welcome back. And coming to that part we've mentioned, just some strategies of how a student can learn maths, or for example term one content or basics of maths. What are some of the strategies that they can use?
Look, number one, they need a good facilitator, or they need discipline. So if they really, really committed to wanting to master mathematics, they need somebody that's going to guide them through the process to ensure that step by step they're getting it right. Doing it by themselves, they can sit with 10,000 textbooks, but if you don't have somebody to guide them through it, they're going to be in for big trouble. Mm. So what they need to do is to log on to anybody, attach themselves to any platform that is on. We running our platform as well. People can contact us. They can get our contact details from yourselves, or they can go to any other tutor that's running online courses at the moment, just to keep them occupied. Mm-hmm. And then they can log on, engage, and then start going through it step by step with workbooks. And then obviously they need memorandum to be able to check. But I think at this juncture, under the current situation that we're in, I think parents play a vital role in the education of their child right now to ensure that, because, I mean, you can't have a 13-year-old or 14-year-old so disciplined. That discipline doesn't take place anywhere in the world, let alone South Africa. So the parent has got to work out a program for a child to ensure that the child is engaging in work and going through the process. And if they have any questions or they have any problems or whatever the case may be, they need to contact the facilitator and get the necessary help that they need. South Africa right now, we don't know exactly. We're hearing a lot of speculation as to what's happening with the matrix. Angie Mocheha said by hook or by crook, the matrix are still going to write. Okay. We just heard from UAE, complete lockdown for teachers right until end of August with no pay. Mm-hmm. Now, that's UAE. Now, what happens now in South Africa? We're going to have to play by ear. At this point in time, everybody is in survival mode. South Africa. So you're going to get news on a daily basis, and things are going to evolve very rapidly, and you're going to get new news and fake news and everything. So it's just about sifting the information that we're receiving, making sure that all the information is correct, but also ensuring, I think the distance learning component also now plays a very, very important way. Homeschooling was only for a selected elite few in the past. I think the homeschooling system now is now the way to go now for the future. That's the future of the world. Everybody's going on to the distance learning component, and there are hundreds of service providers that can assist in educating your child at home.
Brother Mohammed, if you allow me to intervene and come in there, you know, as you mentioned, as important as discipline is, an important role that the parents play when it comes to the child's education, especially in today's time. But, you know, as a child, speaking from a child's perspective, they're always going to have questions in their mind. And possibly one of the questions they would ask you in today's time is, how would you actually provide some certain hacks or, you know, possible ways to make mathematics easier to learn? Especially if you look at, let's say, from term 1 to term 4, it's all different topics and content that's being covered. Let us use a term one as an example. What hacks or what possible solutions and easy ways would you suggest for our learners?
For a matriculant, yeah.
Personally, maybe I'm talking from an objective, from a subjective point of view, but we've got a series of products that can help all. So we've got DVDs and the online platform, but the DVDs also work amazingly. All our hacks, covering the entire paper 1 and paper 2 is on a set of DVDs. I think the only challenge that we're going to have now is how do we get it to the public?
That's true.
We've got orders from KZN, which we know courier services now are only transporting essential medical supplies.
That's correct. And, you know, if you look at it, Brother Mohammed, another thing is not every child at this moment in time has access to the DVD. For that child who's currently sitting at home listening to this program and wanting, you know, possible solutions as to how they can be studying without a DVD, what would you recommend?
We are running a platform. They can contact the radio station or they can contact us directly. I don't know if I'm allowed to give our contact details.
So you can only. You can?
Okay, our WhatsApp number is 081-706-3986. I'm just going to repeat that, 081-706-3986. And we're running daily classes in the evening from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So different days, different times. So on Mondays, we run grade 12 mathematics. Tuesdays, grade 11. We'll get everybody onto the platform. And this platform is not, we're not Zooming. We're using our own platform. And it's worked amazingly. We had zero glitches in 48 hours of lockdown training this weekend for KZN.
Okay, Jazakla, that does help. And also, Brother Mohammed, Jay, go ahead.
All the different strategies. Remember, there's a lot of content. So if the grade 11s and 12s are online or parents are there, if they've got a notebook or something, or maybe they're recording the session, I can quickly just go through the topics that are urgently important for
and pertinent to a grade 12 learner.
Or the grade 10, 11, and 12. So if we're looking at, I'll just quickly go through it. Grade 10 products, factorization, algebraic fractions, inequalities, simultaneous equations, all the algebra. They need to get the algebra sorted. They also need to get their functions, all the different types of graphs, straight line, parabola, hyperbola, exponential graph. Some schools have started with financial math also to get the finance also sorted out. And that's what we're focusing on also here at Gateway. For grade 11, let's talk all the different types of quadratic equations, completing the squares, squaring both sides, using the quadratic formula, simultaneous equations, inequalities. I'm just speaking off the top of my head right now. Rationalizing the denominator under thirds. They've got to know all their different types of functions. And some schools have started with Euclidean geometry already, the circle geometry. Finance also. And the whole topic on functions. When we're talking grade 12s, we're talking sequences and series, all the number patterns, quadratic number patterns from grade 11, all their grade 11 work.
Correct.
Plus, they need to know the inverse function. So those parents or those learners who are listening in, and if they haven't completed this, I'm just giving them a very quick checklist of what is required for term 1 and term 2. So grade 12 sequences and series, the inverse function, all their functions, trigonometry, compound and double angles, the whole of grade 11 trigs, plus the grade 12 trigonometry. That includes identities, reduction, and trig graphs. And also, I'm just trying to think. They're kicking off with calculus next term. So if they can get a head start in calculus, it will be amazing. I'm seeing my WhatsApp's going crazy at the moment.
Brother Mohammed, you know, for a lot of our students that aren't aware, you know, possibly the learners that have just came to grade 10 or possibly now in grade 11, aren't aware that, you know, when they come to grade 12, a lot of content is already covered in the two previous grades. So when it comes to grade 12, a lot of content is repeated, or it's not new content, very little of the new content. And this obviously makes it easier for learners to, you know, put them in some form of...
This is where the challenge comes in. The challenge comes in now that the grade 12 is busy with their content, but the grade 10, exactly what you said, the grade 10 and 11 content hasn't been covered. And that's where we come in, and that's where we provide the tools for them to be able... Because teachers don't have time right now to go and do remedial. Tutors can't go and do one-on-one contact sessions. So maybe the DVD kit is the way to go right now. It comes with the workbook. They can sit at home, put it onto their DVD players. Every child, I think, has got a PlayStation 4, a PS4. So they can put it on their PS4, play the DVDs, and then cover the previous content before they start with this year's content. Mm. Everybody's battling right now because of these gaps from the previous 2 years.
So, you know, maybe a good suggestion would be that in the weeks to come, inshallah, we can do some good topics, or, you know, the so-called hot topics that are related to mathematics, assisting our learners and at the same time, you know, giving them a good insight of what to expect and what not to expect, and possibly we could cover some lessons.
Of course, we can do it on air. It's been, like I explained to you before, it's been done on Voice of the Cape when I was in Cape Town 5 years ago. Yeah. We ran a matric and grade 11 math program for about 2 or 3 months, and we had exceptional success. And hopefully after the lockdown, maybe we can even come into studio, bring in 2 or 3 learners from the public, let them come in and sit in on the lesson, and then we project it on air, and then supply each of the learners a workbook at home. They can either get it via PDF or via the radio station. These are just ideas. I'm just brainstorming. I'm thinking exactly what we did in Cape Town on Voice of the Cape a couple of years ago. And it was exceptional, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah so much for your time, Brother Mohammed. Just if you can repeat it one more time, where the our listeners can get in touch with you, for example, the platform that they can tutor themselves, you know, on at home.
Okay, 08176. That's my WhatsApp number. 08176-3986. I'm sitting with about 140 WhatsApp messages. Alhamdulillah. But 08176-3986. That's the WhatsApp number. They can try and WhatsApp me, not call me, because our days are hectic. Although we're in lockdown, but I think it's crazier in office than what it was under normal circumstances.
Yes, definitely, indeed. And inshallah, maybe if we do have a chance during the course of this week, then we'll try and bring you back on air, and at least maybe we can start. Now we do know that the basics, the precursors, we can actually, inshallah, start working on topics that are a bit difficult, and we can project that on air for the benefit of our matrics.
We do science grade 10, 11, and 12, physics and chemistry, with all the shortcuts and all the hack, and the same thing with mathematics grade 7 to grade For the maths, it's grade 7 to 12. The physics and chemistry is grade 10 to 12. But inshallah, I think you guys are going to have Mr. Kota Senior, my dad, who will be, I think, on A tomorrow.
Inshallah. Definitely.
Jay, look forward to it.
Okay. Jazakallah so much, Brother Kota. We hope to, inshallah, get in touch with you very soon, inshallah, and where we can start the actual on-air tuition during the course of this week or maybe from next week, inshallah.
Inshallah. Ameen.
Jazakallah so much for your time. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Brother Mohammed Kota joining us, and he's the founder and the director of the K-Way Institute, South Africa, and they're running online tuitions as well as online workshops and seminars across South Africa. So yeah, lockdown period, you might be thinking, how do I get in touch or how do I know what to do for mathematics? Where do I start? You can get in touch with him, inshallah. And something to look forward to, Hafiz Hanzala, that we're going to be having him, inshallah, soon into studio, where we'll have the actual questions and answers, difficult topics that we do encounter in mathematics. We'll try and go through matric maths, inshallah, for the benefit of those that are in matric. Those that are listening in, you can also try and pass the message on, and we will keep you posted with regards to that. The time is just gone, 3:42 p.m. live on Radio Islam International. It is a learning curve. Next up is the career guidance, and we'll be joined by Hafiz Mohammed Saud Behmat, inshallah. And he's a civil engineer. He's going to be telling us more about the engineering field. Stay tuned. 15 minutes to the hour four. It's the learning curve on Radio Islam International. You can WhatsApp us, interact with us, 072-786-1548. And inshallah, you can let us know what else do you want us to add onto this segment, understanding that it's all talk about school. And alhamdulillah, before the break, we had Brother Mohammed Kota from the K-Way Learning Institute, South Africa, and he was telling us more about the online platform that they have, and that will assist individuals in mastering maths, and at the same time understanding that we are in lockdown, it's difficult maybe to get hold of your tutor. This is your opportunity to do online tuition. In studio now, Hafiz Hanzala, we're joined by Hafiz Mohammed Saud Behmat, who is a graduate of the University of Witwatersrand, and alhamdulillah, Hafiz is working at the Omnia Fertilizer. And that's situated in Sasolburg. Hafiz has graduated as a civil engineer. So during this program, we're going to be having a segment of career guidance. Now, sometimes you say, you know what, do you want to become when you complete matric? And you would say, I want to become a civil engineer. And someone will ask you, what does a civil engineer do? And you'd be like, engineering, you know. But there's so many different types of engineers. Let's welcome Hafiz onto the program. Hafiz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for having me in the studio.
Jazakallah for your time. Hafiz, before we go ahead, alhamdulillah, as we understand that you are a civil engineer and you've completed at the University of Witwatersrand in the year 2017. So that's not a while back. And I think a lot of learners, a lot of students that might be in grade 11, in grade 12, they want to go into civil engineering. But ask them what civil engineering. It's not something about being civilized, you know. In the engineering field that's civilized. But rather, give us a brief intro. What's civil engineering about?
Okay, so firstly, let me just state that civil engineering is a very diverse field. So civil engineering, by definition, is the design and construction of different types of infrastructure across different sectors. So whilst there are many sub-disciplines that fall under the umbrella of civil engineering as a whole, it can be categorized by three main disciplines, namely structural engineering, hydraulic or water engineering, as well as transport engineering. So structural engineering deals with the design and construction of your houses, your apartment blocks in your residential spaces, your design and construction of apartment, of office blocks and skyscrapers in your commercial space, as well as your design and construction of warehouses and plant infrastructure in your industrial space. And obviously, it includes, you know, your design and construction of different types of bridges and other structures, you know, that is key to any particular town or city. Then moving on to hydraulic engineering. This deals mainly with the design of pipeline systems, water reticulation systems, wastewater treatment systems, as well as the design and construction of dams and dam walls, etc. Then lastly, we have transport engineering, which deals primarily with the design and construction of road infrastructure, such as your highways and freeways, as well as your development of rail infrastructure for passenger rail networks, as well as cargo rail networks. So that is a brief summary of what civil engineering is exactly all about.
Before we move to the next question, if you do have any interactions or any questions for Hafiz Mohammed Saud Behmat, who is a civil engineer, you can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548 if you want to have any type of career guidance or any info or more info about that specific career field.
Yeah, Hafiz, you know, for our listeners out there, and especially our school students, you know, who are planning on taking up these different careers, you know, sometimes you hear these students saying, I want to do a particular field, for example, I want to become a civil engineer simply because my friends are doing it. And, you know, they don't even know what the requirements are, what the, you know, how long these programs are going to be taking, and also the admission requirements. They don't have any clue. Whatever the friend does, they're doing. In order to clear the, these types of problems or challenges that learners face, if you can make our listeners and our learners in particular aware, what is the length of this course? Secondly, what are the subjects required to study this? And what are the admission requirements at the university?
Okay, so typically in your South African universities, the bachelor's degree in civil engineering is a four-year course, where the first 2 years focuses on developing your fundamental skills and basics in mathematics, in physics, statistics, numerics, and these are meant to gear you up with the tools that would enable you to kick on in years 3 and 4. So this is your stepping stone, if you like.
Sure.
And then it is only until third year where you actually gain wholesale exposure to the civil engineering field, where you become exposed to different types of design projects such as steel design and concrete design of bridges and buildings, etc. So the first 2 years is just the basis, and the third and fourth year is when you actually start to feel like an engineer, and right, where you actually envisage what your career would actually look like.
And your work, correct?
Basically.
And then, Hafiz, also when it comes to this four-year program, does this include an honors degree or is it just a bachelor's degree?
Okay, so with engineering, most engineering and civil engineering in particular, your honors is sort of incorporated into your bachelor's degree. So it's different to other fields where honors is a separate year. Mm. I think the only exception is in the case of tax, where they have a fifth year. Correct. So that would basically function as your honors honors year. Yeah.
Okay, and Hafiz, quickly, someone that's in grade 9 listening to us now, they need to make subject choices. They want to go into civil engineering, want to build bridges, want to design different structures. What are some of the subjects that they need to have or the compulsory subjects?
Okay, so naturally a person would have to have a liking for and would have to have would have to be efficient in physics, in mathematics, as well as English. However, you know, you get people who actually do poorly in high school, but then they excel in university. So it's not the be-all and end-all. So if you have a passion for something, you can always develop your skills as far as achieving that particular goal is concerned. So I would say that try and improve your mathematics, your physics, and also read about civil engineering projects across the world and see if you're actually interested in it. Because many a time, like Hafiz Hanzala just mentioned earlier, that people go on hearsay. They don't do their own research. Mm. So I would suggest to our listeners to go in and research projects in different countries, for example, in Dubai, in China, and locally as well, and right, see if it's something that they are interested in. And if they feel that they have a passion for it, then try and develop the tools which would cure them and make them eligible for admission into this particular degree.
A question coming through quickly, Hafiz Hanzala. This one saying that I've studied civil engineering, I've started. It doesn't seem like as though what I planned on or what I expected it to be. It seems actually more difficult than what I thought it would be. So I think, okay, yeah, you do it because...
You're getting caught, you know, not knowing what to expect.
And your parents say, you know what, do civil engineering, but it's not something you want to do. So what's your message for the parents?
In response to that, I would say if you have a passion for it, then persevere. You know, you get in university, you come across many people who drop out because a course is difficult, but I would think that should not be your motivation. Mm-hmm. If you do not enjoy the course, then sure, then you can think about changing. But if you enjoy it and it's just difficult, then I would say persevere, because if you ask any engineer out there, there has been potholes, you know, in the within the course of the degree. You just have to persevere and try and negotiate them as best as possible, and obviously seek the help of Allah because nothing can be done without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And if there are portals, then you need to redesign that road.
True. You must also remember, you know, the thing is you should choose a career or some type of work where you're going to feel, where you're going to actually enjoy it, and it mustn't feel you're working for it. It should be something you actually enjoy doing. But Hafizab, you know, coming back to this this course itself, we understand in our country itself, from one university to the next, the admission requirements are obviously different. But on a general basis, if we take into consideration, into account the University of Advaitisaram, what are the admission requirements to get accepted?
Okay, so in the case of Wits University, I think the APS points requirements is 42 for civil engineering. So I think Tux University is 35 and UJ is 28. So I would suggest that our listeners go in and go to the relevant university websites and calculate their own APS scores based on the criteria detail therein.
Yes, for those that don't know, what's the APS, the admission point score, or that's the system that universities use for you to be enrolled there. You need, for example, a certain number of points, and I think
so every
it's
subject
around 40.
Has a certain rating that allows you to get qualified.
Yeah, and like
subjects.
I mentioned earlier, your mathematics, physics, and English would have a higher rating than other subjects.
Before we come to the part where we talk money, Hafiz Mohammed Saud, for example, when you say the scope and the career path, typical working day for a civil engineer, you being at the Omnia Fertilizer, understanding you don't make fertilizers, but what's it all about?
Okay, so let me first begin by highlighting the different types of roles which a civil engineer can go into. So this would depend on the type of company which employs them. So, for example, a graduate goes into a consulting company. 90% of his work would be confined to a design office, where he would complete designs which are entrusted to him by his seniors with regards to a specific project that is going on. So he mostly is involved in design work. He might have the occasional site visit, but his working environment is mostly within the office. Then you have a second type of civil engineer, namely a site engineer or resident engineer. So these are typically employed by construction firms, where this type of engineer is based on a site 24/7. So either in a remote location or on a site where continuous supervision and input is required from the engineer. So this is his role. And in my case, I am based on the plant. So my office is within the plant environment. So I would say that my work typically is constituted by a 50-50 split between design work in my office and site work within the plant environment.
Okay, that sounds really interesting. So for those that have been having second thoughts or 50-50 also with regards to should you go into civil engineering or not, yeah, that's the clarification coming your way. Before we end of the program, Hafiz Mohammed Saud, let's talk money. What's the basic salary? You know, nowadays people are like, I don't know if I'll be able to earn that much. Basic salary starting, average salary for a civil engineer, what's it like?
Okay, so given the current economic conditions in South Africa, there has been a drop in the market-related salary for civil engineers, but that has been across the board that matter.
Correct, yeah.
So I would say the average for a graduate civil engineer at the moment is around 18,000 to 20,000 gross. And obviously, depending on the amount of years of experience which you gain, then it obviously would improve.
Yeah, and this will also depend, you know, we must remember that it depends on the company you're going to be working in. So even though some companies will say 18 to 20, but then again, it depends where you're working.
I think, you see, if the salary is the main motivation for someone, then there's other fields that would pay more or around the same amount, but with less headache. So I would say that only do civil engineering if you have a passion for it, and then, yeah, the money will come, inshallah.
Inshallah, definitely. Yeah. Brother Ziad saying, yeah, we're having second thoughts here. 18 to 20,000 rand, civil engineer, Brother Ziad. Jazakallah to Hafiz Mohammed Saud Bemat for what we would say, clearing all misconceptions and also at the same time giving us more info on what civil engineering is about. It is a learning curve on Radio Islam International. It's been awesome being in your company, and inshallah, you can look forward to us being with you from 3 to 4 p.m. during the lockdown period. Tomorrow, we're going to be having, inshallah, a science expert coming in and telling us more about the physical science curriculum. Remember, this is just the start. So, for example, today we had the precursor, Brother Mohammed Kota, telling us more about the online platforms that you can study and go through maths. But in the coming days, we're going to be doing the actual sums, inshallah, and with regards to matric maths as well as matric science, geography, etc. If you want to interact with us, then 0727861548. You can WhatsApp us now also of what your thoughts are of the program, and we will take that into consideration. Quickly, 10 seconds, Hafiz Hansala, your message.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, it's wonderful being in the company of these people who are experts in these different fields. And inshallah, we're going to be having more exciting news coming for you every day on the Learning Curve. We look forward to hear from you, and we want you to interact with us on this program.
Inshallah, ameen. Yes, the time has just hit 4 p.m. on the dot. That's the end of Learning Curve on Radio Islam International. Next up is going to be the news and the youth talk by Brother Tufail Patel as well as Brother Hussein Mohammed, and they'll be keeping you company right up until 5 p.m. inshallah. Jazakallah to Brother Ziyad from all of us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.